you found an ad for bus driver.
That's right.
And you were frankly desperate.
Frankly desperate is absolutely what I was. I was within probably, I don't want to eyeball it too carefully, but I was pretty close to going on default on my mortgage. And I needed money. I needed work. And I was trying to look for work, I think, that would allow me still to be a writer. You know, that was ideal. If it wasn't part-time, if it was full-time, it was like a bus driver was perfect because I would get up, as I assumed it, drive like some rowdy bus full of high schoolers to school. They'd all barrel out. I'd go home and do my writing. I'd come back, pick them up, drop them off, and thus my life could go apace and I could continue to try to pursue this folly of being a writer. And it did kind of go that way, but I ended up driving a very a small bus for children with special needs. And it was a much smaller, only five of them. So we ended up forming friendships and getting to know each other in a way that I was not expecting, and maybe they weren't expecting either.
I felt like I knew these kids.
That's great. That's very heartening to hear, Craig. Each one of them was mesmerizing, and I think that allowed me to capture them as best as I could, is because they're so honest and so frank and so heartfelt, and sometimes they just have an openness of character.
Take me through the kids. Can we start with Gavin?
Sure.
And kind of
sure yeah work there's from there? Gavin, who is this wonderful blonde-haired boy who was probably 12 or 13 the year that I drove him. And he has, for the longest time, I thought he had autism, but in fact, he has Fragile X syndrome, a little bit of autism as well. I mean, a lot of times with conditions, it's not a distinctive thing. There's sort of variations within it. But it actually took his parents letting me know that, because on the route assignment sheet, it had that he had autism. And he was pretty much nonverbal, but again, manages to have a very distinct, obvious, lovely personality, despite the fact that he doesn't communicate with words at all. He communicates more with gestures and, almost a form of sign language, And then we had Oliver, and Oliver was like the live wire of the bus. You know, again, 13, grade 7 or grade 8 at the time that I drove him. Just a compelling storyteller,
tall
tale teller. That's right. As I said, he's almost really a fibber, really a liar, actually. But his lies were told with such panache, as I think I write, that you just had to let him go on these, flights of fancy. And he was the one that would get us rolling in the aisles most often. And then we had Nadja, who is the lone female rider, and was East Indian and lived with her family in a condo in the south end of Calgary, and loved the things that young girls love, which is almost stereotypically princesses and unicorns and Hannah Montana and West Side Story, and she had her own drama.
Everybody in her family died at one point.
That's right.
I don't think anybody, I'm guessing that no one actually died.
No, nobody did, as far as I could tell. She, again, they were all kind of tall tale tellers. And she would have, every day it seemed like she'd have gone to some sort of dinner party, but it ended in some sort of terrible calamity with somebody dying or a girder falling from the ceiling and hitting them all. And then you realized after a while, no, she's just, at first you're like, oh my God, Nadja, that is awful. And then after a while you realize, you're fibbing, you're pulling my leg here. So, and then we had, who else do we have? Oh, we had Vincent, who was a big guy with the pop culture recollection of, a dictionary. Was into all sorts of obscure kind of pop culture phenomenon, was a storyteller himself. They were all storytellers, and he was the oldest boy on the bus, but the most gentle probably of all of them. He was like a gentle giant. And then I guess most prominently we had Jake, who had whose condition was cerebral palsy, and we met under if my life was a little fraught, his life was really fraught. He about 4 months before I started driving the bus, he lost his mother to a drunk driving accident
that he was part of. He got hit too.
Yeah, him and a family friend and his mother and his sister were out for a walk in their residential area, and a drunk driver just barreled down in a giant truck and hit them and killed his mother. And he was in a medical coma for a couple weeks. And so this was kind of the environment in which we first came into contact, you know. And that became a very special friendship between the two of us. And we were the two that hung out outside of the bus and, you know, go to movies and go to dinner and lunch and just hang out at his house, watch movies or play board games. And that probably, without Jake, there would be no book. I think all the other kids are wonderful and fun and lovely and loving and compelling, but the one relationship that made me want to write the book and said that I had to write the book was the relationship between Jake and I.
I've only met the post Precious Cargo you.
Right, right.
Who I like a lot.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
I don't think maybe I would have liked the other guy.
No, I don't think I liked myself. And, you know... You're right. It's interesting to go back and kind of in edits to read about my old self to a degree. Not that you really ever do. It's not like you're a snake that you molt your old self. That old self is still there somewhere. And I guess that is somewhat the fear is that, you know, you're never shed of your old ways necessarily. So, but you can remember what they were and try and be better than them.
The book is Precious Cargo. I've been speaking with the author, Craig Davidson, and Precious Cargo, My Year Driving the Kids on School Bus 3077 is published by Knopf Canada.